Because we know who loved us so much, and therefore we may bring him these wonderful songs of praise. We are so glad that we are redeemed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and nobody is able to pluck us out of his hand, and nobody is able to deny that we are children of God. Although people like to do it, let them do it. They have also tried it with all the men of God and also with our Lord. But he was that what he was. And this we can also say in our days, when we are redeemed, when we are delivered, when we made the experience with our Lord, this nobody can deny. Nobody. People may say many things. There, the judgments are different. One could list it here. But this we don't need to. We only want to serve God. But you know, everybody is open before the living God. Each one of us. We can do what we like. We are open before him. In those days, when our Lord walked this earth, there, for instance, there was the one thing with the people. When we read it, maybe in Matthew 12, from verse 31, here it says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Now, I don't know, but for us, as believers, are these words so precious and so important and so valuable and so holy that we cannot do otherwise but to ask God, may he give us grace. And our Lord, in those days, he knew their hearts. He knew what is in each one of them. And he could tell them, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things?" This is the thing. And beloved, the same is still today. People who claim to be believers, they can be so friendly, so happy, so lovely, having a lovely face, but they can go to their neighbor and make him so bad, killing him. This was the case in those days, beloved. And it didn't change until today. But they claim to be believers. But out of their mouths comes forth the bitterness which is in their heart. Don't tell me that such a person is a believer. He believes, but what? What he likes. But if one believes the word of God, then we know that God didn't change yet. For in Malachi it's written in chapter 3, from verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Is this word right? Do we believe it? I think we cannot do otherwise but to believe the word. And the scripture does not make empty words. "Of every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." Beloved, the Bible and our Lord took these precious examples, and also of the tree. No good tree can bring forth bad fruits, but only fruits which are good. He cannot speak evil things about his neighbor. He cannot slander him. He cannot do this and that. But he can only speak that what God has done in his life. This is the thing. But if other things come to the surface, and out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, and it will soon turn out what each one is. Beloved, we want to belong to those from whose mouth only comes forth that what is in the will of God. This is the thing. Nothing else. The other things come from the other side. Slander, bitterness, malice, evil speaking does not come from God. It comes from the enemy. And one can maybe hear the words as them in those days, and yet it didn't profit them. It's no good for us, beloved. Here we can get old and gray, unless God gives grace that we are converted by the grace of God. Otherwise, we get lost. And you can hear the word every hour and every time when there's a meeting. If we don't let our lives be changed by God, then, beloved, it was in vain, our running, all our doings, unless we start with God. We start to ask the Lord with all our hearts that He is merciful to us. There is no other way. Beloved, may the faithful God also this afternoon, by His good Holy Spirit, may He lead us and guide us. We see and we know we arrived in the last days, and God revealed Himself to His people in such a wonderful way and spoke to us. And He is still speaking, wants to make us ready for His soon appearing, that we are there where He is. And so we want to bring Him this afternoon the honor and the worship. Let us stand up for it. Faithful God, we thank You with all our hearts, also for this hour and for the hours which are behind us. We thank You for the blessing which we could receive from Your word. You spoke to us in such a serious way. You are concerned about Your people at all times. As in the days of the apostles and prophets, so also in our days, You are concerned about Your people, and You want that Your people are ready for Your soon appearing. You spoke to us. You revealed unto us the most secret things to Your people, to Your children. We cannot do otherwise but to exalt Your name and to praise You, for You are our God. To You alone belongs the glory and the praise, also this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Also for this service, we are grateful to the Lord that what I had to say at this weekend, I said already, and nevertheless we are grateful that we may be together and that we can rejoice in the fellowship with God and with one another. Don't take this now too seriously. because we will still read some scriptures in the Bible. And I'm sure that God, through His Word, wants to speak to us and will speak, provided we expect it and believe it. The occasion to read 1 Corinthians 13 came now by the song which was sung, and this we want to do now. It's of course the chapter of the love of God, not of the love which we bring with us, but of the love which God gives us. In 1 Corinthians 13, it is written, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. These words are just as true as all the others which are written in the Holy Scripture. And the love that this is about, let me say it once again, that is not a human love, but divine love, as it was manifested on the cross of Calvary. For God so much loved the world, and only he who by this divine love was loved and redeemed and pardoned, in his heart this same divine love is poured out by the Holy Spirit. And this is the love which does not depend on circumstances, neither on the weather nor of the times, which never started, which never ceases, and of this the Word of God testifies. It is the love of God. And when everything else will be no more, then the love remains forever. And blessed is the man who received it, who really has received it. And you all know, according to Galatians 5, the love is one of the 9 fruits of the Spirit. Gifts one can take and receive and give. Fruit you cannot take, receive and give. It must grow. Before it can grow, something must have been planted, a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And therefore, it is necessary that we not just have become believers, but that we make ourselves available to God, that he reveals his word and makes known his secrets, but that he puts the love above everything. And whoever has this divine love, he can have the greatest knowledge. He won't rate it that highly, as he does it with a laugh. Now it is described, and this is very important, because also about this one could make his own thoughts, and they don't profit anyone. Here it says, love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now we can examine ourselves. And please, not one examines the other, but as it is written in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, let each one examine himself. And if we now look into this word as in a divine mirror, then we can find out very quickly whether it is so or not. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envies not. When God blesses somebody or uses him and something comes up in the other, what is this then? Every person who belongs to the body of the Lord is free from envy, free from all these things, for he was baptized into the body of the Lord. And if we in these days have spoken about the Lord and the church, then we should also bear this in mind and take it to heart, what is written in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 and 13. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Here the apostle does not speak of a church, but of the church of God, of the church of the Lord. And I think we all have one ambition, namely to belong to this church of the firstborn, to this church which by God was justified, redeemed, delivered, purified, sanctified, reconciled with God, and perfected. That we are still on the way, this is right. But we have a goal in focus, and we know that with the help of God, we will reach it. The body of the Lord consists of many members. And here it says in verse 20, but now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. If we look at ourselves, our life as believers, our experiences with God and maybe with one another, then we are facing the big question: did we withstand the tests? Did we hold together the hand and the feet, the several members which belong to the body of the Lord? Or have we separated from each other? Did we tear apart the body of the Lord as if it had no meaning for us at all? And we were of the opinion that we were right and that we would reach the destination. Beloved, nobody will make it alone. Together, we have to endure and undergo and withstand everything that comes upon us, and we have to share joy and sorrow. We cannot do it as then the multitudes did, that they suddenly, when things were bad for the Lord and when the trials reached a climax and when he revealed the word which pierced their soul like a sword, and behold, many followed him no more and left him. And he said, if you don't eat the flesh of the Son of Man and don't drink his blood, for them it was an offense. And they said, how shall this man give us his flesh and his blood to eat and to drink it? They were following the Lord. They were healed and blessed without that they understood what God planned with them. Beloved, we must understand in these days what God plans with us, and we must go through thick and thin, up and down. We must at all cost follow the Lord and also to stand to one another, because we need one another. The hand cannot say, I don't need the rest. What is the body without the feet? What is it without the hands? What is it without eyes, without the head? And who knows who what is? So we have to stand to one another, to give God the opportunity to let the several functions work of the members in the body of Jesus Christ according to the measure of the divine calling and necessity, so that they can do their ministry and fulfill their task. But we of course said it, and last night we dealt with it in particular, of our Lord, who started the work, who founded the church, and who said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. They will have opened up, and all of hell will leave the whole world in peace, because the devil already has it. And he will jump on the people of God with all his might. But our Lord prayed for us that our faith may not cease and that we withstand, and especially now, so close before the destination. When people followed the Lord 10, 20, 30 or more years, it is of no use to them if they did not persevere unto the end, if they didn't hang on, and then can be crowned at the end. He that persevereth until the end, he shall be crowned. Beloved, if we speak of the love of God, then we must know ourselves that we are the chosen and the loved ones. And that it has to be then the same divine love with us. Without respect of person, and this love was described to us here. It suffereth long and is kind, envies not, love wants not, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Oh, how many demands are being made, but nobody gives in. Demands are being made. Everybody demands this and that from the other. Things are imputed. And who wants to get then the receipt? Who wants to settle the account? With whom shall we deal with? Here we are told, it is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. The love of God does not demand anything from the other. It doesn't require and says, this you must now settle. You have to pay for that. Everything was settled and paid for on the cross of Calvary. For you and for me, once for all, from the beginning to the end, everything that you demand from me, or I from you, or we from one another, all that was demanded from Him, our Lord and Savior. This was the letter of requirements, the long letter of requirements, and that He has torn in pieces. And all the powers of darkness, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Why should we now let ourselves be carried away by the powers of darkness and in bitterness, demanding something from others, and perhaps even writing out a letter of requirements? No. Whoever really received the divine love, he is not easily provoked, he thinketh no evil, he rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. And love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. This is the divine love. We as humans, we tend to expose. On whom? On whom? On us? Not at all. No. If we feel like it, then of course not with us. Then with the next one. And already we did not understand the program of God at all, and have not become a part of this divine counsel, because we still have the other one at that moment before us. No, love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never ceases. All of us, we have heard this and other scriptures. It must be a love worked by the Spirit of God. Everything else will not help us. And that's how it is written here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 8. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. A love worked by the Spirit of God. And then it says here in verse 13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. These are all precious biblical truths. The question is, are they just written in the Holy Scripture, or are they in our lives as a living evidence which has been proved? If these truths are just written in the Bible, then it's not enough. But if they have been manifested, then we can rejoice about it. Here, in 2 Corinthians 13, from verse 11, it says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you." Everybody wants to correct the other, but no one lets himself to be corrected. Everybody wants to admonish the other, but no one wants to let himself be admonished. And if we look it up in Romans, there it's written, "Whoever has the gift of exhortation, let him exhort." Not the one who likes to exhort now, but he whom God wants to use to say the right thing in the right way at the right time, so that a divine success and not a human failure would be recorded as a result. Beloved, we are still a long way away from it. To be a biblical church of the living God, we are not ashamed to confess this, and we even add to it, we do it with all our hearts, because we know when we realize our lack and acknowledge it, then God can help us. But if we say, "I'm rich, I know all things, I have all things," and the Lord had to say to us, "Right, you who you think to have all things, that you are blind, poor, and naked." So, we always want to agree with God and His Word. And then it will be right. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 3, it says, from verse 6, "Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." If we would read the previous verse, maybe we should do it to get the context. Here it says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." Is this not a wonderful testimony? A great man of God gives all the glory to the Lord. And how many times we emphasized it? As long as he sat at the feet of Gamaliel, he absorbed much teachings. And the more he was taught, the more empty he became. But one encounter with Jesus Christ our Lord has taken all the teaching away from him and has given him revelation by his grace. And this is, of course, the testimony which was left to us by the Lord himself and also by Paul in a special way. Jesus Christ our Lord said to Peter, "Not flesh and blood revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. Divine revelation is what counts. The letter even the devil handled when he came to Jesus Christ our Lord and said, "It is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." It is not enough to handle the letter of the word. We must have the divine authority to even be allowed to handle the word of God. And the Holy Scripture says, don't claim to have knowledge if you don't have it. And if a man has been placed into a divine office, and we all know that there are the five offices, the five ministries, if we were not set by God, then we set ourselves, and then we will have our own program, or the program of the church to which we belong. If God sets, then we prepare him the way by proclaiming his justice. And then the Spirit comes, takes the word and makes it alive. And then all will be taught by God. Then not one is teaching the other, but as our Lord himself said in the Gospel of John, they all shall be taught by God. For me, this is something precious. Not one brother will teach the other. I read it to you. Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father cometh unto me. They all shall be taught by God. How does God teach? Where is his seminar? Where is his school? Where is his chair in divinity? Upon the chair of Moses, many have sat. Upon the chair of the apostles also. But where are the people who sit at the feet of Jesus in all humbleness, bowed, to hear the lovely and blessed words from his lips? And of him it is being said, no one ever spoke as this man speaks. His teaching was of divine authority and accompanied not the volume, it was the power of the divine evidence and revelation which touched the people on their inside. That what the teachers could teach could not give anything to anyone. But that what our Lord has said and what he still says today, this is not empty. This is full, and therefore we believe in a full gospel. And if something is missing, then it is no more full. So nothing may be missing up to the last promises which God has given to us in these days. But also therein we will have our trouble, because there Brother Branham again is 100% right. And maybe I should explain this here from this platform. Some things have come into circulation that have been attributed to Brother Branham, but have not come out of his mouth. And may God give us grace at any time to distinguish all this from one another. We know that he said very clearly, the people did not change yet. They always remain the same. They praise God for that what he did. And they are waiting for that, what he will still do. But they bypass what he is doing at their time. And this shall not happen to us. Why did we orientate ourselves so much on the word of prophecy? To have the compass and to know how the way of God in this confusion in which we live really looks like. And with joy we say together with Peter, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Paul has written here to the Galatians in chapter 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. What was it? Taught by God. When was he taught by God? After he had the encounter with Jesus Christ, and thus was taken into the responsibility. For he asked, Lord, who art thou? And the Lord gave him the answer, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And he became a chosen tool. Now the church is required to discover the word determined for this time, be it in the Old or in the New Testament, by revelation, putting one to the other, until an overall picture has come up and we have a clear divine concept before our eyes. And I believe that the Lord will bring it to pass by his grace. For the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For how long did we hear and preach ourselves, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man? And did we have the revelation about it? No, we didn't have it. And suddenly a man of God comes, and the Lord gives us clarity of what it actually was all about then. And in the same way, it is written, as it was in the days of Sodom. Most of the preachers, of course, jumped on the unbelieving part. They ate, they drank, and so forth. This we also do today. That's not the point. What happened before Sodom and Gomorrah was burned with fire? The Lord revealed himself to Abraham. Genesis 18, and in verse 17, the Lord says, shall I hide from Abraham the thing what I plan to do? Abraham was a prophet, and the word of the Lord came to the prophets. And the Lord God does nothing unless he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. This is still written in Amos 3, verse 7. Unless you scratched it out. And then it is still written there where it was before. And there's no man who could somehow avoid it and go some other way and say, we will make it anyhow. Forget it. There are thousands of them. Every evangelist, every denomination, all tried it and do it until this day. No, God sends his servants and prophets. Why does Paul write to the Ephesians that the church was built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, where Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone? In the kingdom of God, not everybody is allowed to build his own kingdom. The kingdom of God will be at the end again the kingdom of God. And in this kingdom, there's only one king, and he is the king in this kingdom. And this is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that, what he does, is well done. Important is only that we let ourselves be placed into this divine will and with it into his divine doing. We have read the precious words last Saturday evening that the church was included into this divine commission. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And he who hears you, heareth me. Who were these people? Somebody who sat at the feet of Gamaliel? No, he who was called, who was sent with a message. And it is written, how can somebody preach without being sent? Romans chapter 10. The preaching comes from the word of God. But the faith which can stand before God does not come from a human interpretation of the scripture. It must be the biblical faith. And the biblical faith can only come forth from a biblical proclamation. And for this reason, God has sent his servant and prophet. I won't be ashamed of that until my last day. As surely the Lord has sent a John, a Paul, and his servants and prophets, so surely he has sent Brother Branham, not with an extra message, but with the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation 22, to turn the hearts of the children of God back again to that what God has spoken. And with this, we are again at what we looked at this morning. The Lord calls out, and the called out ones are those who will listen to that what the Spirit says unto the churches. All the others will not hearken unto it. We read it in Revelation 2 and 3, 7 times in every church age message, when it's written, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Also about this, we spoke already. Every evangelist can say today, the Spirit spoke to me. And everybody walks in his own direction. The Spirit takes the word. The Spirit of God will never go beyond the Word of God, neither he will pass over it. The Spirit of God, who inspired the Word of God, will quicken it. By the preaching we hear it, and by the Spirit it is quickened unto us. Then it's no more a hearing with these ears, but a hearing with the heart. And then the word applies to us what is probably written in Matthew 13, which the Lord addressed to his disciples then, and today to us. In Matthew 13, in verse 10, it says, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." We can nothing for it. We have no influence to that, what God does. But one opportunity we have, and it is therein to make the right decision before God. To bury our own wisdom. A Paul could say, all that what was once precious unto me, this I counted now as dung, in order to grasp the all-surpassing wisdom and grace of God. Here are two groups which are described to us. The disciples came to their master and asked, "Why do you speak to them in parables, not to us? Why do you speak to them, to the multitudes of people, only in parables?" And then he gives the answer, "To you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." We cannot ask, "O God, why do you have the one and why not the other?" The Lord spoke in general. They all had a chance and the opportunity to receive and to reject. Do you know wherein the difference was? Some remained pious as they were and could not let go what they learned. The others beat themselves on their chest and said, "Never somebody spoke as this man speaks, and it was a speech with divine authority." And the same is happening in these days. In the same chapter, Matthew 13, it says in verse 15, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." This was the one group. They have heard the Lord. They witnessed. They have seen everything what happened then. And nevertheless, they remained as they were. The word entered not in their heart. It did not become a divine revelation for them personally. The other group of this is written here in verse 16. "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. If I say here today that a Mohammed, who made his greatest campaign in the year 632, he believed to be the prophet according to Malachi, to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, that he started a great campaign and thought that he is the man chosen by God. When I read this in the Quran, I hardly believed mine own eyes, but I personally read it in Lagos, in Nigeria, and there were many of such people who came on the scene and who said, I am this man. Up to George J. Lake. Up to the end of the past century. And what was it? It were men. Even Alexander Dowie claimed to be this last prophet according to Malachi. And today everybody can say, oh, you people there with your William Branham, you are on the same track. No, exactly not. Because in our days, the hour of God has come. It was not 1,400 years ago, and it was not 200, 300 or 100 years ago, but the hour of God is now. And that's why God has given grace that a leading back into the Word of God has taken place. And do you know wherein this vast difference is? All these men bound their followers unto themselves, and on that what they interpreted and said. Brother Branham said, test all things with the word of God, for I am just a human. God's word remains the eternal truth. He didn't draw the people to follow him, but he led the people to Christ by preaching the true gospel. But we cannot change anything. Even at the first coming of Christ, people came on the scene who said, I am the one. And the last one was also a Judas, and made 400 to follow him, and said, he is somebody great. Beloved, what did Brother Branham say in the film text? I am just as helpless as all of you who you sit there. If God does not help me, I can do nothing. Does this agree with the word? Without me, you can do nothing. And it almost looks like a disgrace. He waits and waits. And then he says, you know what I am waiting for. And suddenly, the waiting was over. And the presence of God was there. And already, the divine confirmation came. Beloved, with the help of God, we are ready to swim against the stream even as non-swimmers, because the power of God will give us strength to endure all things until the end. I have no worries about the things which are insinuated to us. If they would just bring us closer together, then everything will be all right. So it has to hit us much harder that we are really forged together so that God can finally manifest Himself. If we check all these things, and this we did on the basis of the Word of God, then we don't say it to make others contemptuous and to exalt the One beyond measure. For all the glory and all the praise belongs anyhow only to the Lord. And Paul writes to the Corinthians, "Don't glory much about a man, for what is Paul? What is Apollos? And what are we all? The one has planted, the other watered, not ripped out, he watered. Today there are many who pipe up. Instead of watering, they pluck out. Instead of rejoicing about the pure seed which was sown already, they run after the people and want to speak with them as if they have something to say to them. I dare to say here today, whoever feels to be urged to teach somebody else, he is not yet taught by God Himself. He did not yet understand what's all about. Not one will teach the other, but they all shall be taught by God. Not we take hold of the other, collecting addresses, contacting people. We let God get hold of us, being overpowered by Him, and say, Lord, here I am. I'm at my wit's end. And also with my wisdom, be thou my wisdom and all what I need. The measuring rod of the test of a ministry is not my or your knowledge, but the overall testimony of the Holy Scripture. Without any contradiction, everything must be in conformity. And here we can say with a good conscience that God has found the most humble and simple tool. A man who didn't come with his own knowledge, but who was pardoned by God, who was commissioned and sent. As John then, so he was sent in this time. And for this, we are grateful with all our heart and with all our soul. All who are being taught by God, they receive it, they accept it, and they thank the Lord for it, and are led by grace into all the truth by the Holy Spirit. And something else we don't want. May the Lord give us at the end of these gatherings a grateful heart and an obedient and believing heart, that we don't take the things lightly which were given unto us, but taking them from the hand of God just as they were given to us. And I believe this we all do, not because we were persuaded by men, but because God has introduced us into His Word and into His will. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us stand up and thank the Lord together. Heavenly Father, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your mighty word, which we could hear again. Your word is spirit and it is life, Lord. We are so happy, Lord, that in such a admonishing and correcting way, you are pointing us to everything. We cannot do otherwise but to exalt your name, to praise you, to give you the worship, Lord. Our God, you know us. Who are we, Lord? We are people, forgetful and weak. But Lord, you are merciful to us, hour by hour. You are leading and guiding us into your truth. Oh Lord, sometimes we cannot understand it. Why this was granted to us? Because we don't feel better than all the others. But Lord, it's your love, it's your grace, it's your mercy with us, Lord. And therefore we praise and exalt you also now in this hour. We thank you together for these meetings, for these hours of edification, of correction, of comfort, which you granted to us by your grace. Faithful God, we ask you, continue to be with us and with all who have come to have fellowship here with you and with us, Lord. We worship you and praise your wonderful and glorious name of Jesus. Teach us to consider, Lord, that we arrived at the end, that we are not just hearers of your word, but that we become doers, Lord, as you commanded it in your precious and holy word. Receive the worship from my heart and from all our hearts. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise and thanks be to our God for all the precious words. I believe all of us, we are happy and blessed through all the words and through this teaching which was given to us by His grace. We didn't deserve it, but God was merciful to us and speaks to us. It doesn't matter what people think. What people think is always different than what God thinks. This we see throughout all the Holy Scripture. And we are so happy that we may hear His voice and that we can turn away from that what people say and that we may cling to Him, walking with Him step by step until we come from believing unto seeing. Dear brothers and sisters, we are very happy that God still gives us this time of grace and that we may come together in such a way. Although it is not very often, but when we come together, then it's something wonderful. And so, may God be with all of you, is my prayer and my desire. Here at this place, we pray for you at all times. And also our request is, please pray for us, so that we can come together into the presence of our Lord, asking Him for His strength and for His help. Now, let us come to the close. You, who you still have to travel a long distance, maybe we sing a song together before we depart. Let us sing 263. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.
Let us stand up for a closing prayer. Faithful God, may you remain everything to us, as we have sung, light and life, my sunshine. Oh, you are everything to me, you alone. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters, for all who have come, Lord, and I ask you at the same time, be with them now on their way home. Bless them and accompany them on every step. Bless also their homes, their families. Bless all who could not come, Lord. Lord, be with all, and may your glory be granted to all. We thank you once again for your precious and holy word. If thy word would not be the lamp unto our feet, we would not live today, Lord. But because your word has led us, because you by your word has shown us your way, therefore we are here, Lord. And soon we will be with you. Worship and honor be to your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord has blessed us. Amen. Amen.